the church. We're so blessed to be in America. I'm so glad I'm American. I see a lot of problems in America. I'm grateful that my parents aren't here to see it. I remember quite a few years ago, Grandpa was sitting on the couch and, like he many times did, looked at the obituaries and wondered why God still left him there so long. But he looked at me and he said, you know, the government someday will tell you how to raise your children. Came true, just as he said. 20-some years ago, from this pulpit, I told you that your tax money would pay to put security guards in our schools. That's real close to happening. It's already happened in some place. We kicked the Bible out, and look what came back in. No shootings, no killings when the Bible was permitted in the schools. We didn't have any of that. Look what we have now. There is a lot of things that's really happening today that's sad to me. It saddens me. I don't consider myself a selfish individual. I think about others. I think about my grandchildren. I don't like what I see is happening in our nation. I was thinking about the words I heard, a nation in decline. And then I thought, you know why the nation's in decline? Because our churches are in decline. We need to shoulder some of that blame. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, Matthew, said, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses savor, it's good for nothing. Now I can tell you that some of us are just a little bit saltier than others. That's okay, because God made us that way. He made us uniquely different. That's okay. But you're told to be the salt of the earth. And I think I've already shared with one of my parishioners, some of us exchanged a salt shaker for a sugar shaker. Hello. I don't want to go on that. That's not quite the message I have, but... Some of us exchanged it. You know what's interesting is if you put them in the same shaker, they look the same. I heard that. They look the same. I'll never forget what Sonny had happened to Sonny Stauffer. I just remember this, Irma. I'm going to share a little bit of this. Is that I don't know you were. You were someplace where they had stuff made to eat, and it was rice pudding or rice, something rice pudding, I believe. And Sonny got some rice pudding, and whoever made the rice pudding, they messed up. They put salt in instead of sugar. Now, when Sonny tasted it, he told Irma, you don't want to eat that. And he said, it isn't much good. It's not much good. Okay, I said enough of that. I'll get back to where I need to be. That's why I have notes, so I can stick with the notes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity I have to share once again. I enjoy sharing your word. It's just something I just really enjoy doing. I like to read your word. And I read in one place that the word of God was precious in those days. Lord, I want you to know it's precious in these days. is precious in these days. I love them, and I pray, Lord, that you will help me today to share it in a simple and precise way. In Jesus' name we pray. In an hour, I titled the message, Everything is Going to Change. In 1 hour. We read from the prophet Isaiah. He warned in the last days that God would turn the world upside down. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. And in our King James, it's translated, it turns it upside down. Now, the Apostle John had given a very similar warning in the book of Revelation. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Revelation 18, 8, and 17. If you read further in Revelation, you'll read it's talking about the great city Babylon. Babylon was a big trade center. A lot of trading took place in Babylon. Of course, when we look at Babylon in Revelation, it talks about our commerce, our economy. You know, we talk about our nation in decline. Our churches are in decline. Do you know the truth is in decline? The truth is in decline. I believe churches should be preaching the truth. Sometimes it's not easy and it's difficult. We have a mandate to speak the truth. We can't sugarcoat it. It should never be watered down. We should never soften it so we can gain a larger following. We know that there's some that do that so they can pack the churches. I'd rather have 2 people in church that are sold out to the Lord than 2,000 people that are lukewarm. Huh? Too many times we're worried about what the people are going to think. I'd be more worried about what God thinks. And I pray that God continue to use this pulpit as a place of truth, not stories, not opinions, but God's truth, the Word of God. That's why you came this morning. That's why you got yourself awake and put clothes on and came today. You want to hear God's truth. And that's why I want to try to be a good shepherd and give you God's truth. I don't want anybody to say, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me of this? Sometimes we say things that upset you. I'm sorry, but I don't apologize for God's word. Now, if I ever say something or do something out of God's word and it's me, you be sure to tell me. I'll try to apologize. I tell this. Tell Marcus sometimes, yes, I suppose you're only authorized to apologize. But I hope you're not offended by me. Many will be offended because of God's word. Our Lord had warned us. They did it to me, they'll do it to you. And so I warn you. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, he said. I've overcome the world. The Bible says sudden destruction comes when the cup of violence is overflowing. Have you ever lived at a time where you hear so many rumors of wars, trouble, turmoil? Sometimes I'm hesitant to turn the news on. We were told just recently that there's a Russian nuclear sub stationed off the coast of Cuba. I didn't know that. Do you know how close that is to Miami? Does anybody know where Cuba is? We were told there's a Russian nuclear sub stationed on the coastal waters of Cuba. Did anybody else hear what threats the Russian president said? He will retaliate. the United States for all the money that we have given Ukraine. Russia said, I will retaliate. We're living in perilous times, folks. But listen, Russia's not in charge. God is. God's in charge. That's what the purpose of this message is. It's God who's in charge. Politicians may be confounded. The medical world may be overwhelmed. The economy may be teetering. But there's people everywhere. They're living in a world of constant uncertainty. That's what I'm talking about. The uncertainty that we're living today. I can tell you, God's not surprised. He's not caught off guard. He is at work. And He is raising a generation to demonstrate His power, His amazing grace, and His unrelenting love. All trying to describe God's love is just very difficult. I think about so many times that God had helped me through the years, and this shirt really does the job. It really is true. God was with me when I was young and stupid. And I can look back over my life and I can tell you certain times that He was there. He was with me. He prevented me from doing things I should have never did. You know what I mean? He was there. Helping me. Loving me. Loving me. When I didn't deserve to be loved, He was there loving me. Amazing. So we hear about wars. I think what's so most in my mind is the violence that's waged against our children. Human trafficking. Remember we had a lady come here and speak about human trafficking? Do you know there's a lot of human trafficking happening on our borders? Coming across our borders? Cartels are taking advantage of people and their money, making them pay exuberant amounts of money to try to get them ushered into the United States. I think of the sexual violence of pedophiles, children that are being abused and raped and kidnapped and forced into enslavement, into the global sex trade. One of the world's largest church denominations has spent hundreds of millions to settle claims of people molested in childhood by the clergy. Remember that? It's still going on. The claims are still being coming in. How long will God endure the silenced cries of children mistreated by those who would represent Christ? Thousands of children in Africa are slaughtered in tribal wars. Young boys are enlisted into militias and forced to murder men in initiation rites. Here in the United States, we have reports so many times across the TV of school murders. It's no longer a shock to us. But they continue to terrorize our children. What about the blood of millions of aborted babies that cries out from the ground? The Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother? Your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You evidently aren't, because you killed your brother. His blood cries to me from the ground. If Abel's blood cried, how many times does God hear the blood of babies' blood? Might be a harsh subject, but I can tell you this. It's murder. I don't care how you cut it. Baby killers. Advertisements on TV. We see baby killers. Whenever I see an advertisement, I say, baby killer. Baby killer. You should be made to watch a video of how abortion's done. You should be made to watch it. Everyone should be made to watch it. When they tear that little thing apart to move. Piece by piece, limb by limb, you should be made to watch it. Shame on you. It's abortion, it's murder. And you'd be surprised how many people call themselves Christians and vote for it. Shame, 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 shame. You're not reading the same book I got. I can't vote for it. Never will, never have. Someday you'll stand before God and you'll give an account of everything you did. Don't forget it. God's chicken is going to change everything in three different areas. In 1 hour, God's going to change the world. Do you remember when the World Trade Centers were destroyed? Do you remember where you were? I do. How the people flocked to the churches to pray. You don't hear much about that now, do you? Louisiana put the Ten Commandments back in school and the government firmly sued them. That's the world we're living in, did I tell you? When the World Trade Centers were destroyed, help poured into New York from all over the world. People looking to help and assist whatever way they could. The scene we have in Isaiah's prophecy is quite different than this calamity, because in Isaiah's day, the calamity was beyond humankind's capacity to respond. At this calamity, it will devastate the economy. Rich merchants will weep and mourn as they face bankruptcy. In an instant, all the wealth they amassed will be reduced to nothing. Let me ask you, what are you going to do when the cash is cashless? When they do away with cash, what do you think? Where are you going to be at after you've amassed all this? When cash will be done away with? It will be. Government don't like cash. Can't keep track of anything. Can't make no money on it. They're going to do their best to eliminate it, and they will. Probably within the next few years. Cash will be eliminated. John describes this scene. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at the distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches have came to nothing." Revelation 18, 15 through 17. Overnight, all buying and selling will cease. Every restaurant and bar will be shut down. All drinking and merrymaking will be replaced by anguish. All the merry-hearted will sigh. Verse 8, the murmur of the tambourine ceases. The noise of the jubilant ends. The joy of the harp ceases. Verse 9, strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. Isaiah 24, 7 through 9. Secondly, in 1 hour, God will change the church. Hour of devastation will transform churches, no matter what the spiritual state. Be surprised how many churches are closing up. I was in conversation with one of my prisoners the other day. You know what's sad to me? When churches close, they make church apartments out. I've seen that. So have you. And you'll see more of it. You'll be seeing more of it. You know why that happens? God has written Ichabod across the door. My glory has departed. And those poor people have no idea what took place. And they wonder why their prayers don't get answered. They wonder why nothing works anymore. They wonder why heaven has become brass and the earth under them has become iron. Because our churches are in decline. The Methodist organization, did you know, are being run by lesbians? Maybe you didn't know that. you know that the Methodist pastors are leaving by multitudes? Did you ever think you'd live to see this day? I did. Churches are in decline. It should be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. Verse 13, the image here is God shaking all that can be shaken, sparing nothing. Then Isaiah gives us an incredible word about what will happen with believers. Suddenly, in the midst of the dark hour, a worldwide chorus of voices will sing praises to the majesty of God. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud. Verse 14, a holy remnant will be awakened. A song will be born as they cry. Glorify the Lord in the dawning light. The name of the Lord God of Israel, the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous one. 15 and verse 16, instead of panicking, God's people will praise his awesome majesty. In one collective voice, raising by the millions out of every nation. You might say, well, how will this happen, Pastor? In 1 hour, God will regenerate and restore his church, and the dry bones shall shake and shall rattle. The righteous will be awakened as the Holy Spirit calls multitudes of lukewarm believers back to their first love. With floods of pangs of remorse and godly sorrow, many will cry out, repentance. The song of revival will be heard from the othermost parts of the earth, from the Arab lands to China, Indonesia, and Africa, and all corners of the globe in one day's time. Isaiah tells us of wonderful miracles that will come as God makes all things new. Around the world, the Lord's people will feast on his word. The Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, well-refined wines on the lees. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. It seems at the time of prosperity, the world seems to be covered with a veil, and they're unable to see the truth of Christ. But when God shakes the world, the shrouds and coverings will be lifted off the eyes, and billions will be able to see. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. 25 verse 7. As the veil of darkness is removed, many will see the Lord in his glory. In his glory. I believe one of the darkest coverings today is over the eyes and hearts of our youth. It's especially true of college students whose faith has been bombarded for up to 4 years. And over that time, their minds have been indoctrinated by godless professors in classrooms where belief is attacked and mocked and scorned. And these young men's and women's faith is shipwrecked, and they leave college convinced that God is dead. Heathenistic professors who've been invited into these universities who were started and founded on God's word. And now, because of pressure, they feel they have to get government and federal money. And so they bend and go to federal money. And when they get federal money, the government tells them, you've got to have these professors. Are you listening to me? Our colleges have been indoctrination centers for years. You bring them up in a Christian home, send them off to college, and the professors work on them from there. They ridicule, make fun of their religion. Are you listening to me? This is what's happening in these so-called Christian colleges and universities. Is it any wonder why our generation seems to be somewhat misguided? Not all, some. Is it any wonder that some of these children have left the faith of their parents and grandparents? And now they've become a spectacle. We We need truth to be preached in our pulpits today. So our churches don't decline. We're in a moral decline. Everything else is going up. Our morality is going down. Thirdly, lastly, finally, in 1 hour, God will change us. He will change us. The focus of our lives will be totally transformed. We'll no longer obsess about our own adversities. So many worldly things that we hold dear will no longer be of any value to us because we'll all be in the same boat. It shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. 24 verse 2. Presidents, kings, world's richest and most famous will all tremble just like the poorest of the earth. This event will tear down the false altars that the world's most prominent idol is money. And America is facing a monstrous financial disaster. Wait till it hits. It's when your money will change to cashless. Cashless society will begin. When we finally get a grip on our finances that we're spending way out of hand. It's way out of hand. What do they care? It's not their money. It's yours to spend. They don't care. They don't go to the grocery store. You do. And the ones they send to get their groceries, they have a bottomless checkbook. It's called your taxes. So they don't care. And when they tell you they do, don't believe it for a minute. They only care about themselves and getting reelected. All idols will be crushed to dust, leveling the playing field. The richest, the poorest alike will face the same conditions, and it will all happen within a day. Jesus warned Jerusalem of sudden devastation to come upon the city. It would be burned to the ground with over 1 million people dying. And now I have told you before, it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe, John 14, 29. What he was saying, when it happens, you'll know there is a God who loves you so much that you are clearly warned. The Apostle Paul called these warnings light. You are children of light because you know what's coming in the future. So when destruction comes and there's panic all around, you'll have the calmness of the Holy Spirit. Something will quicken inside. You'll remember that God warned me. The prophecy isn't a message of wrath to God's people, but it's a wake-up call to begin preparing. In times of prosperity, nobody wants to hear a message like Isaiah. But we can't ignore it because it's here at our door. Paul said, when we have knowledge that sudden destruction is coming, we're not to tremble and we're not to sorrow, as the world does. But we are to comfort one another in faith, knowing that God rules over every aspect of our lives. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. Start now to build up our holy faith in him and learn to praise his majesty quietly in your heart. When you sing a song, it'll strengthen and encourage your brothers and sisters. And